All right. So sorry, this is going to be a little bit long, but you know, it's the story of how God saved me. So I'd say it's a bit important. So my name is Nia. I'm 22 years old, and most of you don't know me, but some of you do. So I'm going to tell you guys how my life is a testimony to the truth of the gospel. First, just some background on who I am. I grew up in this church, and every time the doors were open, I was here because it was my mom's favorite place. I enjoyed being here, and I knew a lot about the Bible, and I was part of a family here that I only had access to because I was pretending to be a Christian. I was a hypocrite, and I thought I was fooling everyone, but I wasn't fooling God. I didn't care that I was spitting on the image of God by being a hypocrite. As long as I was getting what I wanted out of lying, I didn't care that I was that it was a sin or even that it was immoral. I didn't have a spiritual conscience. All my years in church, I had learned how to turn my heart off and my brain on. And I was learning about God all the time, but I never knew him. I was a leader in this church because it made me feel good. My mom is very involved in this church, as some of you know. And to me, it even felt like she loved me more because I was a Christian. I felt the true love that the people here pour out, and I wanted to make everyone proud because this church is my family. And I wanted to fit in, and I wanted to be accepted, and I lived this hypocritical life until I went to college. All my life, I couldn't wait to grow up and set out to find satisfaction, like in Ecclesiastes. I wanted to be released from my lie and dive into my authentic self. I wanted to be free from the guilt and shame of knowing that I would never be good enough to deserve God's love. I wanted to find whatever this world offered was second best, because living the boring life of going to church and listening to Christian music was all that I ever knew. I wanted to go and explore the unknown. And man, I was jumping headfirst into the lion's den. My sin of choice once I got to college was sexual immorality, and I gave myself to it. I'd think a guy was too cute for me, so I'd pursue him to make a point to myself that I could get anybody that I wanted. The feeling would come and it would go, because the second I'd get to know a guy, he was gross or there were too many red flags, so I'd be on to the next. The perverted version of being wanted, the world's version of being good enough, the second best version of being desirable, was like a vapor. The feeling was there, and then it was gone. My plan at college was to fall in love, get married, have kids, be a stay-at-home mom, raise smart, funny, healthy, well-behaved kids, then get old and die. Notice that this plan for happiness wasn't thought out as well as Solomon's. He tried way harder than I did to find happiness, and I had failed at step one, which was falling in love, because the man I fell in love with had his own life and goals and plans that I never considered. Imagine that. This left turn turned into addiction, and I used this to cope with the fact that I wasn't succeeding at anything that I did, that I put my mind to. I started drinking and smoking, and these things consumed my time, they consumed my relationships, they isolated me, and they turned my heart to stone. My whole personality was distracting myself from my pain and my failures. I had been to college for 3 semesters at 3 different colleges, and I gave up because I was... after I spent a week in the mental hospital, where I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, depression, anxiety, and addiction, And I came to learn that these were all just symptoms of my sin. Then, after I had dropped out of college, I moved back here to Spur, and I dove deeper into my sin than ever before. But I was around all the people who loved me and loved God. I didn't feel any conviction at that point, because I was completely numb. Eventually, my mom found out about all that I was doing, and when she confronted me, I completely shut down and I told her that I'd never speak to her again, and I accepted that she would never accept me or understand me. Because when you're so deep in sin like I was, you either submit to God or you run, and I ran. Fast forward 2 whole years, I hadn't spoken to anyone I might feel conviction from. I followed Jinga, my boyfriend, to New Mexico, and we got pregnant within a year of living together. When I got pregnant, I felt like I finally had a reason to get my life together, but I was going to do it how I wanted to. I got clean, and it was easy because I always wanted to be a mom, and I had to do it right. After about 20 weeks pregnant, I met my grandma, Peggy. Some of you ate her food tonight. But I met her to tell her about Delilah, and I was so afraid that my family would hate me for not speaking to them and not wanting to be like them, but she met me with love. And then shortly after that, I saw my mom, and she met me with love as well. So after Delilah was born, my mom and I started to rekindle our relationship, and I had a conversation with her about how I felt spiritually, and I told her this. I don't understand why we as humans are held accountable for sin when God is sovereign and could take it all away. Because he could have done things differently since he's in control. I wanted to be a good person, but on my own terms. I didn't care that God was the creator of the universe because I would have done it differently if I were him, which is honestly what I thought because I was my own God. I had so much pride. I wanted to be a moral person and enjoy the time I had and then die. I didn't care that God had more planned for me or about his standard for goodness. I was so lonely. I felt like I got myself through all of my suffering alone and that I didn't need God, and I even blamed him for the depravity of the world. I was so used to the patience of God that I was more shocked by his judgments than I was by his mercy. Then, about 2 months after this conversation with my mom, God saved me. That night, Jinga and I were fighting because I was unsatisfied. We'd been together for 4 years, and I still wasn't fulfilled. I felt stuck and unloved, and that night didn't have closure, so I stayed up and listened to a message by Jackie Hill Perry on The Woman at the Well, which is John 4, 4 through 26, and I'm going to read that. It says, "And he had to pass through Samaria, so he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.' For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore, the Samaritan woman said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.' She said to him, 'Sir, you have nothing to draw with you, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us this well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?' Jesus answered and said to her, 'Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life.' The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so I will not be thirsty nor come all this way here to draw water." He said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You have correctly said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When the one comes, he will declare all things to us." And Jesus said to her, "I who talk to you am he." So that night, I read this passage, or it was being preached, just on a YouTube video. It wasn't at a church service or a DNOW or a youth camp or anything like that. And at this point, I was identifying with this woman really hard. Because I had felt so much shame, I was isolated, and Jesus spoke to me after I had ran and denied him all my life. Since the woman didn't know who Jesus was, he revealed himself to her by showing her what she had been thirsting for. Jesus tells her things about herself that no one could know, things she was ashamed of, and she was searching for love and acceptance from men, and I was doing the exact same thing. I could hear God so clearly for the first time in my life, and he was telling me, "Nia, I know how it feels to be misunderstood and unloved. I came to this earth to identify with you. Your desire and passions are gifts from me." And I realized I had been so thirsty for something only God could satisfy, and he made me this way so that I would worship him. I immediately realized that my relationship with Jenga had been my idol. I was wired to worship and love wholeheartedly. I was worshiping something created instead of the Creator. And I felt shame at first because the God of the universe knew everything that I had ever done. But just as quickly, I told God that I was done running, and I understood myself in a way I never had before. More importantly, I saw God like I never had before, and it's like I could have physically snatched his offer of living water out of his hands, and it was the easiest decision I have ever made in my entire life. Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" And that's what I'm doing here today. This woman heard God, she saw God and accepted him as Lord because he revealed himself to her. She had married five men trying to find happiness, and it wasn't enough to fulfill her. My quest to find satisfaction left me exactly where it left Solomon and the woman at the well. I tried to find satisfaction in boys, I tried to find satisfaction in religion, I tried to find satisfaction in drugs and alcohol. I tried to find satisfaction in the world's diagnosis of my heart. I tried to find satisfaction of being a good, moral person, and I tried to find satisfaction even in being a mother, and nothing satisfied me. This world is vanity. Since God poured out his love to me, I have had peace like never before, and my greatest joy has been getting to know my Savior and hearing his voice. So guys, please don't waste your lives looking for pleasure and happiness from this world. Because Jesus is living water and eternal life. He is the Prince of Peace and the Comforter, and he will give you rest if you repent and live for him. Thank you.